It's Thursday, October 22nd, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Glad to have you here, because I'm not here. Well, I'm here in your ears, but I'm not actually here in the studio while you're listening to this. In fact, all day today, I've been driving down I-5 from Portland, Oregon to San Bernardino, California for the Cypress Hill Smokeout, a trip of about 1,015 miles. Cannabis Carrie's on the road with me, and we're going to stop by Southern Oregon Normal in Medford on our way down. So we pre-recorded this daily audio stash to get you by while we're on our road trip. I want to make a note of a change at the Stash blog at stash.normal.org with all of the stories out lately about Republican moms for marijuana and stiletto stoners. I've added a new category for women in cannabis. Check it out in the categories buttons over on the right-hand sidebar. It's a little pink button with a stiletto shoe on it. Click that and you'll get all the stories about women that we've been posting here on the Daily Audio Stash. And there's a piece on the stash that I won't be able to get on the air today, but you really should read it. It comes from a diehard drug warrior from the Clinton administration, Bob Weiner, who's got some real reefer madness when it comes to the explosion of medical marijuana. So check it out at stash.normal.org. It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere. Time to take a look at your cannabis community calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar, detailing all the events happening with our local chapters nationwide. On Saturday, October 24th, Oregon Normal will be holding their medical marijuana cardholders meeting. You must be a medical marijuana cardholder to attend. It's at the Village Ballroom, 700 Northeast Deakum in Portland, Oregon, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific Time. Also on Saturday, Normal Nebraska welcomes you to their Omaha open meeting at McFoster's Natural Kind Cafe. And Saturday night, Normal Show Live is on the air at live.normal.org with exclusive audio and backstage interviews with many of the musicians and artists from the Cypress Hill Smokeout. Check it out 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time at live.normal.org. Of course, the Cypress Hill Smokeout takes place this Friday and Saturday. For more information on that, check out guerrillaunion.com/smokeout. I'll be presenting at a expert panel on legalization on Saturday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the San Manuel Amphitheater. Coming up next week on Tuesday, October 27th, New York Normal invites you to see the funk band $10,000 Ego at the Yippie Museum. And on Wednesday, a heads versus feds debate at the University of Nebraska, Omaha, a debate between High Times and an ex-DEA agent. For more information on all these events, including times and maps to the locations, check out the Cannabis Community Calendar at normal.org/calendar. It's a normal shout-out. Our shout-outs today go to some states that we're really trying to get some new normal chapters formed in. We're looking at the state of Arkansas to expand our operations there. There's already an Arkansas Normal, but it's a big state, so we could use a few more chapters. And speaking of big states, the state of Alaska, which doesn't have any normal chapters. Maybe it's because they've got 4 ounces guaranteed in their own personal home through their privacy clause in their constitution. But come on, Alaska, we can do better than that. Let's legalize it outright. And to the folks in North Dakota, up there in the Northern Plains, where we're also lacking a normal chapter, let's get marijuana legalized in your state. To anybody in those states or anywhere that would like information on starting a new normal chapter, send me an email at chapters@normal.org. Now, coming up today on your daily audio stash, we begin with your hemp headlines, which include a look at the LA City Council rushing to implement a ban on almost all dispensaries in the county. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which looks over the state of California, among others, has declared that the law enforcement must not use dispensaries as an ATM through civil asset forfeiture, and a new outbreak of reefer madness taking place in Colorado this time will tear it apart for you. In our Daily Toker Tunes, we're still bringing you the best of all the tunes we've been playing over the past 18 months, and today we bring you back a good one from Pain, featuring Howard Marks, and a song called Grow More Weed. And in our interview segment today, it's time for the California Marijuana Report with Eric Brenner, who'll be bringing you part 2 of his interview with controversial figure Steve Cubby. All that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. The LA City Council rushing new ordinance that would wipe out dispensaries, from the Los Angeles Times. With its moratorium on new medical marijuana dispensaries declared unlawful, the Los Angeles City Council is now poised to act quickly on a strict ordinance that it has struggled with fitfully for more than 2 years. On Tuesday, the city attorney's office delivered a draft that some members want the council to take up within a week. The sudden acceleration stems from a Superior Court ruling Monday that left the city unable to enforce its ban and derailed its 4-month-old drive to shut down new dispensaries. Under the latest proposal, most dispensaries would be required to close immediately and could not apply to reopen for 6 months. The 186 dispensaries that registered with the city when it passed its moratorium in 2007 would be allowed to remain open for 6 months, but then would have to meet the ordinance's requirements. You're going to immediately shutter some 600-plus medical marijuana storefronts? The illegal marijuana dealers of the Los Angeles Basin couldn't have asked for a better windfall. The Mexican drug gangs sure have to like this change of events. What? You didn't think the Los Angelinos who've been keeping those storefronts in business were just going to stop smoking pot, did you? The ordinance could effectively outlaw most dispensaries in the city by prohibiting sales of medical marijuana. Both City Attorney Carmen Trutnich and Los Angeles County District Attorney Steve Cooley maintain that state law does not allow over-the-counter sales, though they say collectives owned by the members are allowed to recoup their expenses. Dispensary operators say the sales, usually in 8-ounce increments, are meant to cover their operating costs. The ordinance requires collectives to keep records on members and suppliers and to make them available to police, which operators fear could leave them vulnerable to federal prosecution, even though the Justice Department on Monday formally told its prosecutors not to pursue medical marijuana users and dispensaries that follow state law. The draft ordinance also adds a provision that requires collectives to notify council members and neighborhood councils of their plans to open, and another that bars anyone who was convicted of a felony within the previous 10 years or who was on parole or probation from managing a collective. So, like, if you were growing medical marijuana for patients and providing it to them in a collective way, like, say, Eddie Lepp, and the feds prosecute you and make you a felon, then you, one of the most experienced people for the job, are not eligible. In addition, the ordinance would limit the number of dispensaries by requiring them to be at least 1,000 feet from schools, parks, libraries, religious institutions, child care facilities, youth centers, hospitals, medical facilities, substance abuse rehabilitation centers, and other collectives. In a dense urban environment like Los Angeles, I doubt there are very many properties that aren't within 1,000 feet from one of those institutions. Can we at least open dispensaries next to liquor stores? I always seem to see them within 1,000 feet of those institutions. The ordinance also would restrict the dispensary's operations. They could be only open between 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. They could have no more than 5 pounds of marijuana or 100 plants on hand, and marijuana could not be consumed on site. They also would not be allowed to sell or manufacture edible marijuana products. I don't think Carmen Trutnich and Steve Cooley have ever seen Star Wars: A New Hope. Like Darth Vader battling Obi-Wan Kenobi in a lightsaber duel, they don't realize that killing the Jedi Master only makes him a stronger agent of the Force. For over a decade now, people in Los Angeles have grown accustomed to buying quality marijuana in many varieties and forms from business establishments. They have seen a hint of the promised land and will not appreciate returning to the call my guy and wait and hope and take whatever weed I can get world. This action by the LA City Council will backfire in the worst way possible in their eyes. It will galvanize the majority that already believes marijuana should be legal for all and taxed with distribution through regulated business outlets. There is no putting this genie back in the bottle. Californians have seen semi-legalized marijuana, and they like it. Ninth Circuit Court rules cops can't use dispensaries as ATMs. From Law.com. If police departments want to line their budgets with drug money, they'd better do it right, according to the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. In a ruling Tuesday, Judge Richard Clifton ordered the feds to return nearly $200,000 to a Los Angeles medical cannabis collective. Local police raided the place in 2005, and the seized funds became subject to asset forfeiture proceedings. Clifton found that under the Fourth Amendment, a faulty warrant means the police can't keep the money. What happened on Wilshire Boulevard in Tuesday's case wasn't by plan. A Los Angeles cop responded to complaints of pot smoking on the street and quickly traced it to the United Medical Caregivers Clinic, according to the opinion. Even though the dispensary operators brandished paperwork authorizing them to operate under state medical marijuana laws, the police security search warrant and busted the place. The money was turned over to the feds for a forfeiture action, with the city in line to receive 80% of the loot, according to the opinion. However, the state judge who signed the search warrant hadn't been told the club operated as a medical dispensary. Given that, Clifton applied a relatively straightforward analysis to conclude that declarations submitted by one club operator in the state proceeding could not then be used in the federal forfeiture action, thus dooming the seizure. Clifton wrote, quote, "We are particularly concerned by the possibility that the LAPD might stand to profit from unlawful activity," end quote. Some things in America should not be for-profit enterprises, like policing and prisons. In so many of these dispensary raids, there are no charges filed against the operators, but the property is all destroyed, and the cops seize and keep all the cash. Learn more about the unfair and unjust nature of civil forfeiture by visiting Forfeiture Endangers American Rights at fear.org.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Rocky Mountain Reefer Madness. DEA claims Mexican cartels are supplying Colorado dispensaries. From the Denver Post.
Demand for medical marijuana in Colorado has grown so fast in the past few months that it has outstripped the production of legal grow operations and is now probably being supplied by international drug cartels, say some local sheriffs and agents from the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration. Quote, dispensaries are popping up like mushrooms, said DEA Special Agent in Charge Jeffrey Sweeten. Now we have thousands of 20 to 25-year-olds carrying cards, and the cartels are getting rich off this law, end quote.
Once again, our medically trained law enforcement officers are able on casual visual inspection alone to determine that young adults do not suffer from cancer, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, cachexia, severe pain, severe nauseas, seizures, or persistent muscle spasms. You know, we could just end this healthcare crisis and cut costs dramatically by just having our police handle all our medical screening from now on. Why bother with expensive scanners and tests when a DEA agent can just look at a 23-year-old woman and know she doesn't have endometriosis, epilepsy, or an eating disorder?
Legal grow operations linked to dispensaries are limited to 6 cannabis plants each. By contrast, most of the street pot comes from big outdoor grows, such as the 3 operations within a 5-mile radius of Chatfield Reservoir busted by DEA officials last summer. Sweeten said one grow had 14,000 plants that averaged 5 to 6 feet tall. He said the average illegal indoor grow is 100 to 200 plants, averaging 3 feet tall. Quote, the numbers don't seem to add up to me, said Sheriff Bill Masters of San Miguel County. It seems difficult to supply people with the number of plants allowed. My suspicions are that marijuana might be coming from other growers, end quote. Quote, supply of marijuana is not directly addressed in state law, and we think it's one of the areas that can lead to criminal elements being involved, end quote, said Longmont City Attorney Eugene Mai, noting that the city is seeking a 90-day moratorium on new dispensaries.
Let's see, your demand from legal users is outpacing your supply from legal growers, a situation you deduce is sending profits to illegal growers. The way I see it, there are 2 ways to address this problem. 1, reduce the demand from legal users. Or, 2, increase the supply from legal growers. Number 1 is a fool's errand that we call the war on drugs. Restricting the number of people able to get a medical marijuana card isn't going to stop a medical user, or a recreational one for that matter, from going to the black market to score some cannabis. The people who have cards now were most likely using marijuana prior to having a card anyway. So the legal growers, even if they aren't supplying the whole market, are taking a cut from the whole market that didn't exist before. Number 2, however, takes a direct bite out of the drug gang's pocketbook. You don't want Mexican marijuana in Colorado dispensaries? Then let more Coloradans grow more Rocky Mountain marijuana. Finally, if they think we're buying swaggy Mexican brickweed, the main product of the Mexican drug gangs, at Colorado dispensaries, they have never experienced the Colorado I know.
James Roquefort here from PeopleRadio.com, and you're listening to Normal, the podcast for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Oh, I didn't know they needed reforming. It's illegal, you say? I'll be right back. Sorry, I had to flush my goldfish down the toilet. What was this about marijuana? Oh well, now on with the show.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling while promoting the message of reform. To donate your song for possible use on the stash, enter it in the next Marijuana Music Awards contest today. October rocks on with a tune that features Howard Marks, a cannabis advocate that has led such a colorful life his autobiography has been made into a major motion picture starring Rhys Ifans as Marks and Chloe Sevigny as his wife. Look for it in theaters in 2010. Cannabis activists are worldwide. We are not alone in our march toward the end of cannabis prohibition. March of 2008 was the last time we heard this great toker tune. Take this musical puff from a UK punk rock group that was together from 1995 to 2002. The group PAIN, which stands for Propaganda and Information Network, recorded the song Grow More Weed in 2001 with none other than Mr. Nice himself, Howard Marks, who joins lead vocalist John Eris on this heavy dub reggae ska-influenced tune. Mr. Marks famously spent 7 years in an American prison for drug trafficking and later ran for election to UK Parliament on the single issue of the legalized cannabis campaign. He didn't make Parliament, but he continues to write and campaign vigorously for the legalization of recreational and medical cannabis. You can visit his website at howardmarks.name. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. This is PAIN featuring Howard Marks with Grow More Weed.
A thousand million years ago, nature said let it grow. Grow more weed. I've got no race problem, I've got no age problem, I've got no problems when I'm stoned. So I'll grow more.
Shattered in the drugs of arbitration.
control a lot of things, drugs are, but you'll never control my mind. Egyptians grew it, Indians grew it, so it's grow more weed. The Rastas blasted smoke, even grow it, so it's grow more weed. A silly prohibition, lives are being shattered if they grow more weed. You criminalize me, don't do it to my kids if they grow more weed.
So grow more weed. The state of the nation is nationalization. So grow more weed.
Grow more weed.
I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
California Marijuana Report for the week of October 19, 2009. I'm Eric Brenner. This week, part two of our conversation with medical cannabis visionary and cancer survivor Steve Cubby. Steve unloads on the police, the competing marijuana initiatives here in the state, and his old nemesis, Bill Lockyer. Only on the California Marijuana Report. Steve Cubby, thank you so much for joining us this week once again on the California Marijuana Report. Talk to me about the initiatives that are supposed to be on the ballot next year to legalize cannabis. What are your thoughts on them?
An initiative that didn't pander to the police or pander to the conservatives, but just flat out attacked all of the statutes, all these horrible numbers that are on the books that are used to punish medical marijuana patients, marijuana people, growers, distributors, people engaging in commerce. All of these horrible laws need to be removed. All of the prisoners need to be released. We need to be unequivocal in saying clearly that prohibition is wrong, that any punishments whatsoever, any rules, any regulations on something as basic as a plant are wrong. And until we get that kind of visionary and radical leadership, we're not going to make the kind of progress that we need. My attorney, Edie Lehrman, is currently running 44-0. She's won 44 cases in a row, lost zero. One of the most recent cases that she handled was 400 pounds that two men were caught with in Mendocino. Edie got those men off in a jury trial. She read the law to the jury, the different applicable laws, and showed that what they were doing was legal, even if it was 400 pounds, and they won. And in fact, Edie is under instructions from me and totally agrees with this, that if I'm arrested, the very first thing that we're going to do is we're going to refuse to waive any time. And I have spoken to judges, district attorneys, prosecutors who have privately admitted to me that the constitutionally allotted time of 2 months, 60 days, is not enough time for a prosecutor to do all the paperwork and everything required to prosecute someone for a marijuana crime. And that even if they could, the chances of a period of court being able to clear a jury trial and set it up within 2 months is extremely doubtful. And so every single person that ever gets arrested for marijuana in this country, the first thing that the lawyer tells them is you have to obey your constitutional right to a speedy trial. We need time, money, BS. The law is very simple, and in fact, my attorneys and I believe that they can't get a trial together in that period of time. So, you know, if I get busted, we'll find out. But I don't think I'm going to get busted. I think that the police, the prosecutors know I'm sincere. They know that juries are going to believe me. And they know that I'm not afraid. And I'm not, because I've read the Constitution.
Steve, talk to me about the peyote conviction in Placer County.
Yes. So Guest had left some peyote buttons in our guest bedroom. Tiny little buttons, the size of a quarter, maybe two or three of them. I never got to see them. They take these buttons to their own chemist, the police chemist, and the police chemist extracts mescaline from the peyote buttons, and they charge me with possession of mescaline and got a conviction against me, a misdemeanor conviction.
Steve, who was the drug war criminal at the time in the district attorney's office? Was it Bill Lockyer?
Oh, yes. Bill Lockyer was determined to sink me. I was a vocal opponent of SB 420, and they had a vested interest in getting these limits up because the police wouldn't let them get reelected unless they did it. And I was on to him. But he used every office available to him to put me away. He used the California High Crimes task force. He made all of their computer facilities available. I was charged with 19 felonies.
Unbelievable.
Amounted to a minimum of 40 years life. I nearly died in jail because of being kept from my cannabis. I still suffer today from the effects of my incarceration. I was blinded in my left eye temporarily as a result of that incarceration. And today, all charges have been dismissed. My record expunged. Now, three times the police have arrested me and nearly killed me over something that turned out to be so freaking minor that it was dismissed. The conviction was dismissed. My record expunged. They were willing to kill me to prove their theory that I didn't really need medical marijuana. Now, what's interesting about this, and what I wanted to get back to, is we were talking about the police. And I want to tell you a police story so you understand that it's a far more complex problem than the black and white picture that people might have. I was in Canada. I was unable to persuade the Canadian authorities to allow me to stay in Canada. I voluntarily returned to the United States. I could have gone to Europe. I could have gone to, I have friends everywhere. Australia, New Zealand, Spain. But I chose to go back and confront what was going on, and I made arrangements with my attorney to return and go to Placer County and turn myself in. When we flew down from Vancouver to Los Angeles and I arrived, they stopped the plane, and we were surrounded by vehicles with flashing lights. They then announced, "Passenger Steve Cubby, please come forward." So I got up with my attorney. Air Marshal got up immediately, showed his gun, and told my attorney to sit back down. So I'm getting the picture that these guys are serious. So I go to the end of the plane. I go outside of the plane, and I'm immediately slammed against the plane, knock the wind out of me, cuff me, my hands start bleeding because the cuffs are so tight. They go through every square millimeter of all of my stuff, which was spotlessly clean. And then they roughly take me down, and they're starting to put me in a squad car. And I asked them, "Could you release the cuffs? I happen to be bleeding, sir." And they said, "Get in the damn car." And then there's this voice, this big badass sheriff inside the vehicle says, "Loosen the cuffs and put them in front." So the guy loosens the cuffs. And there was, like, ICE was there, and Homeland Security, and Customs, and FBI, all kinds of police, sheriffs, airport police. It's unbelievable the 30 some odd people that were surrounding me. I thought, is my mind that dangerous? Because I've never hurt anyone, right? No one has ever said, "Well, you know, he hurt me," or "he lied to me," or "he cheated." No one has ever filed any kind of complaint except for government agents. And I thought, wow. Anyway, we're starting to pull away, and the sergeant says to me, "You're famous." He says, "CNN was there to cover you, Fox News was there." He said, "There were hundreds of people." He said, "You're famous." So I hold up my still bleeding wrist with the cuffs on him so he can see him in the rearview mirror, and I look at him in the rearview mirror, and I say, "Lucky me." And he says, no, "You don't understand." And as he's saying that, he starts getting choked up. And he starts bawling. First he gets the wet eyes, but, you know, after a while, he's like just spilling his guts out to me, telling me that his dad had cancer and they got him the medical marijuana and it actually worked to their shock, dismay, and relief. And he got to spend all this time with his father when he hardly knew his father, and as a result of this, they got to spend several years together. It was just, it meant everything to him, and he said that I was actually a hero to his family, and he would like to take me home, but he can't do that. He's got to take me in. And I thought, you know, even the police are affected by this.
Steve, why such brutality from law enforcement? So prevalent, especially at the federal level. What's the deal with the bloody wrists? Why?
Well, the simple answer for that is that there's a culture war going on, and the other side is losing that culture war. They're losing in the courts. They're losing with public opinion. They're losing in every way. And so the only thing that they have left is violence.
We'll have part three of the Steve Covey interview next week right here on the California Marijuana Report. And now some California marijuana music. This week, the Chesterfield Kings from upstate New York. The mind-bending sounds of the Chesterfield Kings from 2003. Here's Trip Through Tomorrow, only on the California Marijuana Report. Thank you so much for tuning in with the California Marijuana Report this week. Special thanks to Steve Cubby, the Chesterfield Kings, Quicksilver Messenger Service, and of course Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Please join our group on Facebook. I'm Eric Brenner for the California Marijuana Report.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. I leave you today with the reminder that we'll be bringing you exclusive audio from the Cypress Hill Smokeout on the Daily Audio Stash podcast for Friday, as well as Normal Show Live on Saturday night. So check them out at stash.normal.org tomorrow and live.normal.org on Saturday. Also, our interview for tomorrow will be featuring an author named Michael C. Rupert, who has been reneged upon by his publishing company just a week before release because one of the points in his book advocates the legalization of hemp. It's an amazing story. Check it out tomorrow. Thanks for downloading the Audio Stash, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.